In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Hi, I'm so glad that you could join me tonight here on The Spark. This is Stephanie James, and I'm thrilled tonight to have such a special guest. You know, when you meet someone and right away you feel that connection and you're like, we are going to be in each other's soul tribes? Well, that's exactly how I felt when I met Debbie Dashinger. She's this amazing best-selling author, award-winning podcast host, and a media visibility strategist. She is dynamite, amazing energy, and she's here tonight to talk with us about what happens when we dare to dream. So this is an exciting episode. Love having you here. Thank you all for your wonderful comments and being a part of the Spark family. So great to be here with you. So let's get started, and I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome, Debbie Dashinger, to the show today. I'm so excited, Debbie, to have you here.
I am so excited we are doing this. Yes.
I've been like, I don't know, stalking Debbie, almost trying to get her on the show earlier and earlier. So
I was playing hard to get, wasn't I?
She was a little hard to get, but we have her, and I'm so thrilled. And, you know, there's so much going on in your life, I know, at all times. And, you know, one of the things I always love, though, to find out, I definitely want to talk with you about this idea of surrender and finding, like, you know, purging through what no longer serves us and some of these awesome things that we've been talking about. And I want to know, Debbie, how did you get to where you are now? You know, who was Debbie as this little girl, and what did she dream about? And what was that journey like that brought you right here?
Little Debbie had a lot of chutzpah. I think about her a lot. I do. I reflect on her, and I reflect on the teenage and young adult me, and I'm like, wow, like I kneel before you, because she wanted something and she was going to get it. And it didn't matter, you know, when I wanted to be an actress and I just dreamed of leaving New York. I was done with winters. I wanted so much to be in the sun. And so I knew I only had basically two options. I was either going to live in New York to be an actress and singer, or I was going to live in California. And guess which one? The sun. So, you know, yay. At 18, I didn't know a soul here. I had no reference points. And the only thing I could think of was, I'll get into a college and that'll create some kind of sustainable platform for me to live a life and go out in the world. It's exactly what I did. I went to USC. So little Debbie, in essence, was someone who knew she was creative, who knew that that's the thing she wanted most in the world, this connectivity, this healing, and this ability to reach people, preferably in the masses. And that's still my thing. And that's what got me here. And I would say the rest of the journey from when I moved here was a bit like Michelangelo. And it has been very much a chipping away. All the extraneous things that I thought I needed to be or do or have that have since been let go of. All the behaviors and the identities I carried that I thought I had to do and be, that I finally realized they had no connection to who I really was, and to finally stepping into this complete comfort with who I really am and what I want. And I'm still very much on that journey, but it's a joyful journey. It's not a journey of need. It's a journey of, I love learning. I love self-development and deep healing growth and energy work. And I love creativity and singing. And I love masses, being on podcasts, writing books, coaching people, all of that. So it still shows up today a little differently, but very much that's the element, the driving force.
It's so beautiful to, as you're talking about it, I just get this sense of just this expansive energy. It's like this beautiful unfolding, like when a flower blooms, it just absolutely expands, you know, so the energy just expands everywhere. And so it's like you have pruned away those things that wasn't, you know, if something wasn't allowing that flower to bloom in its most radiant form, you've pruned that away.
Pain is always been a great motivator for me. There are people I know who run from feelings or tough things, and it's always been the one thing that's held me back in life. And I've been somehow highly aware of, if I could let go of this, what else is possible? Mm-hmm. If I could move through this, what else might be waiting on the other side? And what kind of freedom could I create? And that's been an amazing motivator for me in the pruning, like really the willingness to like, okay, I'll take this on. Cause that's got, the taking of it on has got to be better than whatever I'm feeling right now. And so I'm very grateful for that. I may have many, many flaws, but that's one thing I've sort of been able to hang my hat on and know, okay, I'm going to show up for myself. I'm not going to stay any place that doesn't work for me.
I love that. You know, that's one of my big messages that I talk about all the time is this ability to show up for ourselves and like the true art of loving ourselves and befriending ourselves, which is so huge. It's not just this, oh yeah, you know, I'm just going to be my own best friend, just love myself. It doesn't work like that. You know, it's kind of this dedicated practice where we show up again and again and again for ourselves. And then we can say, wow, I really do have my back. I really do show up for me. I do make myself a priority in my own life. So it's so powerful. I'm resonating with you so much on that. And I wonder, will you share with us just what's an example from your life of a way in which you did that? Because, you know, I always go back to there's this myth that people that are enlightened, people that are really successful, that somehow they were just born that way. And, you know, life was easy and unfolded very simply for them. What was one of those challenges, Debbie, for you that was one of these opening points or one of these portals, if you will, that took you to a different place where those things were pruned away for you?
I would say two examples come to mind. And the first is when I worked, I never really did corporate. I don't think you could call it there, but I did work for the government and I worked for NASA. And I worked at a place that most people, every time they heard where I worked, they were like, oh my God, that's so cool. Space, wow, astronomy. And cool, yeah, me too. But I have to say, I died every day I worked there. Any kind of structure like that, because I'm a real freedom gal, where I had to wake up at a certain time, meet a little shuttle bus that drove me in, show up at a certain point, have lunch with everybody else. You know, there was something so confining and the rules were constantly changing there. I thought it was a very chaotic environment, really chaotic and very non-productive, non-supportive. And if I'm somebody whose greatest value is freedom, whose greatest value is growth, and healing, and this expansion you're talking about of being for each of us, that was the complete opposite.
It was constricting. And they really had set up the environment. This year we're collapsing literally every department and we're going to reopen it completely restructured. Everyone's going to be moved. Every job title is going to be changed. And I am telling you, they did this every couple of years. Nobody could relax into their job. And if it wasn't that, it was something else. Oh, now we have to learn re-engineering, and there was something called Hammer, and there was this and that. And I would sit there and I would just sort of quietly look around and observe all these really lovely, exceptionally bright people losing their minds. And I could tell there, because I'm very sensitive to energy, their beings were in chaos. Mine was too. And so, yeah, it was a very hard call because security is beautiful. Influence in a world that most people were like, God, what I would do to work there and do what you do. It seemed on the outside beautiful, but I could tell it was killing my soul. And I knew I was built for so much more. And so I made the huge leap to say, I have to take a stand for myself. And my message for myself today is, what is it worth? And people can have a different question, I'm sure. That one is a very base question, but boy, it works for me. What is it worth? And what's the ROI? And for me, I was clear the ROI was not healthy. And I was clear, what is it worth? No, it's not worth that paycheck. It is not worth the vacation. It is not worth everything I think I'm hanging on for. It's doing way more detriment, without a doubt. And if I was really built to do all these amazing creative things, who am I to hold myself back and tell God, Goddess, oh, you created something aberrant. Couldn't be so. So I leapt. And I would say that was a really big one to navigate because I didn't know those first couple of months outside of my own. What does this look like? How am I going to build a business? What is being an entrepreneur? Like, I hadn't taken the courses ahead of time. But I am so eternally grateful in retrospect that I did what I did because I landed on my feet. Yes, it took some time. And today I cannot imagine ever making a different decision. It was the right decision. And following energy the best I could back then, what is it? Now, if I ask myself that question in retrospect, what is it worth? Everything. That was everything. I got my soul back, got my being back. People that I coach got to have me. I got to have all these amazing, wonderful clients. I got to have an awesome podcast for 13 years. I got to write 4 books and 14 anthologies. I got to speak on stages. I got to have amazing colleagues like you and friends that I only dreamed of before. It's a whole world and it keeps unfolding, but it had to start with that first step, that first yes.
God, I love the story. So beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you shared that with us because I think sometimes people do, compromise for money, or they compromise for security, or they compromise for status. And it's a slow soul death. It truly is. And so the courage that it takes to step into, like, I'm going to actually step into my true authenticity and my true calling, my true soul that is calling me to be something different and bigger and better. And I might not know what that is. And so then, it's like, it's this counterintuitive piece because we have these brains that are still very primitive in ways that are like, I just want everything very comfortable. And if everything's really comfortable and predictable, then I feel safe. And so I'm just imagining the courage it took for you to go like, okay, I have no idea what this is going to look like. And as you stepped into that, I know for myself, I get a lot of clients that are like, I'm having an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. I have had this career for a decade, same thing that you're talking about here. And then I was like, I'm going to lose my soul if I continue. And then going, I don't know what my way is going to be. I can't find my North Star here. So And I do think what's beautiful too that I'm hearing, and it's been my experience as well, is when you make these big steps, it's like all of a sudden the universe just lines up behind you and ahead of you to support you, and the path begins to unfold.
This is a great cartoon, and it is of it's a man. He's sort of a caveman, and he walks to the edge of a cliff, and he's contemplating doing something really big in his life and taking a leap. But you could see like the sweat coming off of him. He's really scared. What he doesn't see at the other side of the cliff underneath is that there's a hand. It's the hand of God, Goddess, waiting to catch him. And there's a little finger wanting to flick the man off of the cliff so he can be caught and he can grow his wings and fly. And I think about that a lot. Like, I have those questions constantly right now. What is it worth and what's the ROI? I think about that. If somebody invites me to be interviewed, I don't say yes to everything. There's just so much of me to go around. If there's something I want to create, I really have to thank you for sharing feelings, Debbie. That's awesome. But feelings are facts. They're just or not. Facts, I'll tell you a fact if I'm excited. Now, what I choose to do with that, if I'm going to turn it into doubt or fear or think I can figure out every why not, it's never going to work. It's a dream crusher. But if I stay on the path and follow what is exciting to me, I'm going to do okay. And it is with every client I take on, every class I choose to teach, every collaborator who reaches out to me, every social event that I'm invited to be a part of. It's workshops. You know, what is the ROI? What is the time investment? I definitely have let go of FOMO, fear of missing out, very much. And I am so highly aware of how finite and fast this life goes. And all the things that excite me and interest me are that big. And there's this much me. So if I want to expand time and create all the things I want to create, I just widen back and say, you know, what's this going to create for me? Even if I don't really know the end result, but energetically, what is the feeling? And I know if it's heavy, it's not for me. And if it's light, yeah, it's probably something to pursue.
So that's beautiful. Like, it's your internal guidance system, it sounds like. Like, you have this metered, you know, this energy meter that pegs for you. And so if it's this kind of low vibration and it's like heavy, you can pass it up. And what a beautiful way to check in and be like, oh my God, this is something that's lighting me up. And then I know that that's the path I want to take. That's the decision I want to say yes to.
Clarity comes from engagement. Clarity does not come from thought.
Ooh, tell me more about that. I love that. Clarity comes from engagement.
When there's something that calls to us, we need to engage with it. Take action, do it, experience it. If we just think about it, it's dead in the water. We can't think our way really through any experience. That's completely irrelevant. It's completely contrary. But if something calls, what it requires is engagement. It requires a yes, a movement forward, a plan, a strategy, some kind of step into. That's everything.
Yeah, you, as you're saying that, I'm just getting this image of my boyfriend and I just went to Mexico. And so we could have thought about that for months, right? We could have thought about it, planned, and then nothing happened, no experience. And instead, we did it. I mean, literally, we had to fly out of a snowstorm and leave his car in Boise, Idaho, and make it so we could make the flight and have this adventure where we had an amazing healing with a shaman and met amazing people and swam in private cenotes and had this just phenomenal, you know, at Chichen Itza experience. And so, yeah, we had to step, right? We had to be in it to feel that richness and that depth and just truly be ignited. So I love that. I love that phrase. I had not heard that before.
Yeah, I think it's like the antidote to depression, really, and anxiety, because, you know, when you're in the zone of doing something you love, whether it's painting or building or gardening or, you know, event planning, it doesn't matter what floats your boat. But I think it's, you know, if it's not a hell yes, then you let it go and find the next thing. I know for, say, my boyfriend and I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I was in a ceremony situation and I kept thinking about music. And I had been a professional actress and singer for a very long time. And when I got into radio, because I did radio before podcasts, I had to make a hard decision. There was just so much of me. And I thought, you know, I've been singing on stage. I've been singing with big bands and jazz bands. It's so much work. And I'm just going to let it go because really the money is in what I'm doing right now and the joy. So I went there. I released the singing. And then in ceremony, I suddenly, I couldn't stop thinking about music. What happened to that 16-year-old who was such an amazing violin player or played guitar or certainly sung most of her life professionally? You know, like if I got up and did karaoke once or twice a year in the last 13 years, that was it. And my boyfriend was just so encouraging. And he, you know, basically said, look, I haven't played guitar and 20 years. So why don't I dust off the guitar and you dust off your vocal cords and let's just play. It was just playing. Mm-hmm. And we started to do that because, oh my God, it was, I couldn't even believe I still had a voice. Honestly, after all that time, I didn't know what was going to come out, but it was so joyful, amazing to sing, not to mention what it co-creates with somebody you love musically. And then pop, 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 we literally, no effort, people started inviting us to come play. We're even doing some like social distancing, you know, there are events going on. There's even weekend workshops and people have invited us to come play for that. We have a podcast that's going to feature us and people started hearing us. And it's like, that's when you know, when the universe just starts opening all these unexpected, delicious doors. And you say, I just jumped. I got to that cliff and I didn't know it was there, but I said, yes. And so it's very exciting. And that stuff, it's like, needs to continue to inform because I think when the universe knows we say yes at that level, whether it's Mexico or singing or anything else that calls to us, I do believe they raise the ante. And I do believe the next thing, I mean, like someone like you is a perfect example, Stephanie, you did a whole film, you know, that was a big coming to the edge of the cliff and you jumped, you're still alive. You did a great job. You know, I've seen your trailers and, you know, still like for you, that was probably the biggest thing. And yet, wait, folks, there's more because there will be something else. And it may involve traveling and speaking on stages or working with Indigenous people. Or I feel for all of us, we are being so ascended and up-leveled right now that the smallness we've been playing, the things we made such huge questions, it's like, where are you ready to play? What are you willing to say yes to fully, like to give to the earth and the people that you came here and that they're naturally your gifts anyway? So it's joy-filled to give.
You know, the thing that I find too is that when we step into that which is joy filled, you know, it's like it takes us to that little essence, or it's huge essence actually, but the essence we were born with, that joy that was so easy and innate in us. And when we find these kind of things like singing, like you've always been a singer, that's been this innate part of you. And so that just increases our joy even more and helps us get into flow and expand. So it's finding those places. I'm curious for you, as you're talking to your coaching clients and someone comes to you and says, God, Debbie, I don't know where I'm at right now. You know, I've just gone through this. We've all just been going through this pandemic. I don't feel like I'm very lit up. I'm having a hard time. I mean, this is not true for you nor I. And, you know, how do you help people to start looking inside so that they can find those things that create a joy-filled life for themselves?
I think strategy is really important. So I will tell you, it's interesting because I don't attract that client. I tend to attract people who are overwhelmed. They're too busy. They have a buffet of opportunities and it's like, what am I going to pay attention to? And part of that is because the outside world tells them, you need to have a podcast, you need to be a podcast guest, you need to write a book, you need to speak on stage, you need to be interviewed, they have the laundry list and they think they need to tick off every one. And it's not true. I always say, find your sweet spot and just live there. It's so much easier. So for instance, I am very loving and realistic with my clients. And I'm also very clear. So if somebody, for instance, it's just so it makes sense what I do out in the world, besides I do everything that I coach. So I am a book writing coach. I take authors' books to a guaranteed international bestseller. And then I teach them the ultimate visibility formula, which is how they can get interviewed on radio and podcast and get massive results. We all want that, right? And right now, how else are you going to be visible when you can't be on stages and networking in person, right? So during this time, it's I don't know how much you're being pitched, but as someone who's been doing a podcast and radio for over 13 years, I'm pitched hundreds of times a week. People want to come on and be interviewed. And so that's a really important skill to have. My people who talk about, oh, you know, I want to write that book, but I don't know how, and I have too much. I mean, first of all, the first thing I do is help them get really clear on what they're here to do. Because not all of those things that an entrepreneur can engage in will actually serve them or their audience. And again, so important to figure out, some people are innate writers, some are innate speakers, some need to do one-on-one, some need to do one-to-many. It really depends what the dream is and what the vehicle is for it to disseminate out of. And the next thing I do is I get real clear with them. Once we're realistic, this is who you are, why you're here. So this is what I recommend for your lane. Next, I would say, tell me exactly the kind of time you have. And then I want to really talk about how much time you're spending on social media, how much time you're looking at your phone, how many times Facebook is taking you away, or Amazon or Etsy, or where are your time wasters? Because what I know is, if you want to create something, you're gonna create it. I don't care if it's buying a pair of shoes, you'll find the time, right? So if you want to write a book, anybody can pull 30 to 60 minutes 4 to 5 times a week to write. Anybody. You have to be in charge of rescheduling your schedule to make it happen. And that's exactly where I start with people, whether it's that or being interviewed or the bestseller I actually handle for them. So there's not much they need to do but their own brilliance. But the point is, most people, and it's very easy, I say compassionately, like, there's a lot out there calling to our attention. All these things that were created that were supposed to make our life so bloody easy, right? It didn't happen. It made it way more complicated. And people feel very buried under the energy of that, plus seeing other people posting, I'm here, I'm on vacation, I'm the love of my life, all my friends, this beautiful outfit, look at my selfie. You know, it's like, man, you can't compete. And it's really overwhelming. And I just say, come back to self, come back to purpose, come back to why, come back to what the dream is, and then create strategy from there.
See, and that, I think that works no matter where people are at, you know, and I'm really hearing that your clients are already, you know, on their path and have so much going on. And so you're helping just to guide that. And I think that's true, right? For no matter where someone's at, that if they can start looking at, what is my purpose? What is it that I'm here at this specific time, you know, in this whole bend of the universe to do? What lights me up? What is my dream? You know, and yeah.
You know, when you say that, I'm thinking about a client of mine, and, you know, because life changes. This is a woman who was raised Latina Catholic, very much so, was a dancer all her life, had a family and kids, and became a teacher, and was sort of, was still dancing and teaching dancing on the side, but at a really sort of controlled life. And then something happened. And for all of us, because things will happen for all of us, it's the, what are you going to do with what just happened? And for her, horrifically, her son died in a just a terrible car accident where he was driving himself. fell asleep at the wheel, young, talented, nice, wonderful boy. And what are you going to do with it? And of course, she went through what you can imagine any parent, the anger, the grief, the loss, the how will I ever move on with my life? And how could you do this to me? A God, as a Catholic, I have believed in my whole life. And then things started to happen in her world. And at some point she had to pay attention. And I give her so much credit for paying attention. But there were signs without a doubt that her son was aware of her, speaking to her, reaching out to her. Synchronicities began to happen that she absolutely could not ignore. So she started, you know, for all of us, we get a crack. What are you going to do with the crack? And she stepped through that God crack, if you will, and started to just find out a little more, like mediums, for instance, were something she wouldn't typically ever do, but she was involved with a bereavement group that invited in a medium, and she saw extraordinary things happen through this person. And then there was some drumming, and then there was this and that, and she just started opening her being. And I will tell you the journey she went on for a couple of years, and it's very short considering the nature of this trauma and loss. She is a completely rebuilt human. Would we ever wish this on her again? God, no. Do I believe at a soul level she had an agreement with her son for whatever reason? Yes. And what I know today about her, I'll call her D. What D is doing is she is a really spiritual person, no longer a religious person. She even runs drumming circles herself. She's written a beautiful book. She's being interviewed. When she was pre-loss, she was an actress and a teacher, and she was a very controlled, shy person. No more. She's out there telling her story. And so in that moment, what a pivot. What an incredible pivot that she took all of what was given to her and has been able to recreate something, follow energy. What is the worth? What is the ROI? Where am I headed? And let this loss become something so much greater for herself and everybody else. I could not be more proud of her as a human being and as a voice of hope for a lot of people. So I think that's what's possible, even if you don't know. I mean, I can't imagine a greater crossroad than that of going, I don't even know who I am anymore or where I'm headed. That is the greatest crisis of loss. And yet she didn't know all in one fell swoop, but little by little, piece by piece, just by following and saying yes, more was revealed. And now she is who she is.
Well, and with that God crack that you said, you know, just opening up that little piece and talk about loss. I mean, not only did she lose this amazing child and, you know, all that, but like she lost her belief system. That is so huge. And talk about a ship feeling completely unmoored and just wandering the harbor. It's like, oh my God. So to step through that first crack. And then, you know, trust, part of it is we begin to trust that more and more will be revealed as we start seeing this light or this different way opening up. Such a beautiful example. I love that story. I'm curious for you, what now, you know, you've dreamt these beautiful dreams and had amazing things happen in your life. And I always love talking with you because you're so lit up. It is so fun. I love your energy. And I'm curious though, you help so many people, so many other people dare to dream, as your show is called, as your book is called. How, I guess the question is, What is Deb's next dream? What is Debbie's next dream?
Oh, yeah. Boy, do I. So travel is one. And Rob and I are creating some of that. Even in the midst of all of this, we can't leave the country right now. But what we can do here, we are doing. I'm so excited because we have planned almost every month. We have a different trip somewhere. And that fills me tremendously. I really love traveling. And then, so curiosity takes me in a lot of directions. Things sort of get plopped and a lot of them will pass me by. It's not a blip. But most recently, someone was talking to me about self-hypnosis. And I really didn't know much. I do know hypnosis. I have been hypnotized, yes. But I didn't know much about self-hypnosis. And then about a week later, somebody else, my acupuncturist, out of the blue, starts telling me a story about how many years ago she used self-hypnosis and what how it worked for her. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is. But then I get obsessed. I have been spending so much time every day researching this, and I already know I'm going to start practicing it. So there's that. I'm very much involved with EFT tapping, very much emotional freedom technique. I adore it. And, you know, and I feel I have felt this drumbeat, but this one I have to let go to the universe because it's been very interesting. I've received so much information about my healing ability. I'm really clear how it shows up when I work with people as a clairsentient, meaning I have a deep sensitivity that allows me a knowing and a lot of downloads that I've been using for a long time. And that's very natural, but it feels that something else is to come through me. And so to that end, I've taken a bioenergetic synthesis technique class where I learned how to do some healing with my hands. And the singing feels like a conduit, but I'm waiting to see what this is because it almost feels like I might take what I do with visibility and imbue it with a lot of healing for people so that they can really shine out in the world with a lot of ease and a lot of receptivity. So that feels like what the energy is. How it will unfold, I don't know. And it's really my job to just chill, to just relax. Because, you know, anytime I effort, it doesn't work out very well, period. In human design, I am a 2-4 generator. I just have to chill because stuff comes to me and it's easy that way. So I have the knowing, I have the willingness, but I need to let the universe provide more, but just keep stepping out there so I can have those experiences and create whatever this is.
Yeah, it sounds like when you kind of say your sacred yes, and then you can sit back and watch what shows up for you, what the universe has in mind for you that supports whatever this next dream is for you.
You know, so interesting, Stephanie, because I don't know if you have this experience, but in a way, I have felt like the older I get, the harder it is, the more I want to say no to stuff and just be comfortable and just like, oh, you know, look at all I created. My God, I have done so much. And there really is that. And at the same time, when I was saying to you earlier how much I bow down before this younger me, I really mean that. You know, just recently I've been reflecting on like, who was that me who was like, I'm leaving New York. I'm going to go be an actress. I'm going to go to USC. I'm going to do this. And I did it all. I mean, there was so much when I was younger. I remember I wanted to learn guitar when I was young and my mother, I think she was exhausted. I want to do this. And she just got exhausted at some point and she said, no. I know why she said no, because of I gave up violin. I was a really good violinist and I was at a point where socializing just became so important and she was frustrated with me, understandably, but she wouldn't give me guitar lessons. And so my whole attitude was like, really? I'm going to show you. So I got a book and I sat there every day with a guitar. You know, within a month, I could play guitar. I bought all this music and I was sitting there singing and playing. And that was always my energy. There was nothing that was going to stop me, period. And then over time, whatever happens, you get worn down, you get this, that, or complacent. And I have found that I'm needing to supersede that, that when you talk about being lit up, this, that is the energy. It is stepping into the unknown, the jumping off the cliff, the trusting the energy that the wings will unfurl, and this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so, yes, I'm really learning, And I have the greatest partner for that because Rob is so athletic. He hikes like a goat. You know, he surfs, he snowboards, he skis, he does this and that. And he does so many things very quickly and very efficiently. And he's a big yes person out in the world. And it's so good for me. Like, it really is my calling to look inside and say, that energy, that Debbie back then, that's still in here. And I don't want to be complacent. I want to be always refreshing myself. And, you know, what's the next right thing to come down the pike? And just, you know, just trust all of that. Like, it makes you very young, that's for sure, to keep saying yes and having all these experiences. And we're always so much more capable than we think we are. It's so much easier and more fun, right, than our thought would say. So again, yeah, we have to engage. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Love it. So Debbie, as we're getting ready to kind of wind up right now, I mean, it's such a joy to talk to you. And I know that, you know, the listeners are gaining so many of, like, I always call them like these golden nuggets, you know, these pieces that are just, they help open up people's minds and hearts. And so they can start seeing themselves living this kind of life as well, that they can actually start actualizing their dream, trusting the universe, taking that first step. And so, if you were to leave the listeners with your essential message today, what would that be? What do you want to make sure that they're taking away with them?
I would say, when you succeed, you win. And when you fail, you learn. You win either way. And even if your greatest efforts feel like a disappointment, take it on, because there is even a golden nugget in there for you. There is something that, if you are willing to suss it out, see what happened, where were you responsible? Where are you not fully showing up? How can you make that different next time? In a very loving way, not condescending toward self. There is something you can learn and make an adjustment that will change your life and your trajectory forever. It's so worth it.
Awesome. Debbie, how can people get a hold of you? Where can they find you?
Well, I have a free gift for your people.
Oh, how lovely. Yay.
And one of the things I teach my clients is, what is your message? So you know how to say out into the world what it is you do in a compelling way in one or two sentences, so people will lean in. So I've put together, it's all free for your folks. There's a template they can fill in to understand their message. And then there are free videos, very short videos, that teach you how to be interviewed on radio and podcasts, because I think it's a skill everybody needs. And they can go to debbiedashinger.com/message. And my name is spelled very differently. It's D-E-B-B-I. D as in David, A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com/message. And I'd love to help anybody who wants to move forward and be more visible, because they know they're here to do that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for being so visible and for helping to just ignite my day. And just love your message, love what you're about, and thank you so much for being here.
So I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode with Debbie Dashinger. It was so inspirational for me having that conversation and connecting with Debbie. I am always just so in awe of how she shows up so authentically and really mirrors for us how we can do the same in our own lives, and that we can go after the big versions of ourselves, that we can go after that part of us that just is ready and willing to be lit up. So I am thrilled that you were here with us tonight. And I want to share with you, I am doing another amazing retreat with Sedina Capinelli. And Sedina is an award-winning television and film producer. She and her husband, George, have been two of my very dear friends. And she and I are doing an amazing retreat May 7th and 8th. So it's with their Ageless Living. You may have seen that on PBS, the Ageless Living series. And Sadina and I are doing Ageless Beauty, Vitality, and Well-Being Inside and Out on May 7th and 8th. And this is a virtual retreat. We'd love you to join us to celebrate our feminine energy. I'm extending a Mother's Day special price for Friday and Saturday Mother's Day weekend retreat. So when you register, you and your guests get 30% off. So please share this retreat with your mother, sister, a friend, or someone you think would benefit from participating in this personal journey with you and other like-hearted women. This is a really wonderful retreat. It's an opportunity to renew your spirit, regenerate and fortify your energy, and restore and celebrate your inborn beauty inside and out. So to sign up and to learn more, register at www.agelesslivingseries.com/agelessbeauty2021. So excited to have you be a part. You don't have to be a woman to be a part of this. If you are a woman or you love women, this would be a special opportunity for you. So join me next week when my guest is going to be Karen Curry Parker, who is one of the amazing best-selling authors for the last 25 years of the Human Design books. And what an incredible wealth of information and such an exciting episode as she teaches us how we can tap inside this wisdom and learn from the human design, how we can better live our lives. So this is Stephanie James wishing you a spark-filled life.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.